Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
As one of the older Americans, I can honestly say there's never been anything like this crisis in our lifetime. Some of us are doing our part by staying isolated physically in our homes. But many of our family and friends are on the front lines working in hospitals and other essential services. I know that many of our friends who listen to this broadcast and support Ware's Valley Ranch are long-distance truckers. I want you to know that we're praying for you as you keep our stores supplied with the essential foods and other materials we need. Thank you. Please stay safe. And please, those who are able, support this ministry to children and families in crisis. If you would please open your Bibles to the book of John, John's Gospel. We are in chapter 11. We're going to be reading through verse 44. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. This is God's word. "Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to him, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When Jesus heard it, he said, 'This sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go to Judea again.' 'Rabbi,' the disciples told him, 'just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again?' 'Aren't there 12 hours in a day?' Jesus answered. 'If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him.' He said this, and then he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up.' Then the disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well.' Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him.' Then Thomas, called Twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let's go too, so that we may die with him.' When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' 'Your brother will rise again,' Jesus told her. Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there is already a stench because he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Obviously an extremely dramatic story and absolutely true. This is not myth. This is not make-believe. This is history. This is what happened. A man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany. This was somebody that Jesus knew well, someone in whose home he had spent time. This was someone that, as the text says, Jesus loved. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And now Lazarus is ill. And word is sent, an urgent message summoning Jesus, please come. The one you love is sick. And the text says Jesus loved them, and so he stayed 2 more days where he was. What? Well, it's because Jesus was working up his courage. He, you know, like the disciples, you can see they were afraid to go back to Judea because there'd been attempts on Jesus' life there. And so, you know, really was a dangerous place, not a good idea for Jesus right now. And so Jesus was just kind of indecisive, maybe a little bit lacking in courage. Do you think? Not at all. As hard as it was for Mary and Martha and Lazarus to have Jesus not show up in a timely manner, it would have been worse. It would have been harder for them to believe if Jesus had shown up and Lazarus still had to die. Lazarus' death was part of God's plan. You and I don't like it when God's plan involves things like that. You know, we feel like we've got a plan. And so we pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it ought to be. Can any of you relate to this? Do you ever reflect in your prayers the idea that somehow God ought to do things your way? Sometimes God does, and we're always surprised, aren't we? You know, we pray and God answers, and it's like, wow. But sometimes when we pray, as the book of James says, we don't have because we don't ask, and when we do ask, we ask selfishly. They wanted Jesus to come. Over in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. In verse 32, Mary used the exact same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In verse 37, some of the folks who were there trying to comfort the family said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. They said, how do you do these things you do? He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So if Lazarus had Jesus show up and Jesus heals him, it would have been a wonderful, comforting thing, but they would have missed an absolutely spectacular revelation of who Jesus is. This was in order that this Son of God might be glorified through it. That was the plan. It was for the glory of God. God grant that we might see the things that happen in our lives as being for God's glory. Even when we don't like it. Lazarus didn't get that verse until after he came back to life. Lazarus breathes his last waiting on Jesus. And Mary and Martha, they don't understand. We know we got word sent to him. We know that he must have gotten the message by now. Why isn't he coming? For the glory of God. But if you look at what happened in this passage, his disciples, when he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up, the disciples tried to stop him. They said, verse 12, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get well. They're praying the way we pray, trying to advise, okay? Oh, Jesus, you may not know this, but actually, if a sick person falls asleep, that's a good sign. We need that. It's good for our bodies. And so Lazarus, he's going to be okay. We don't want to go to Judea, please. And when Jesus says, look, he's dead, and we're going because I'm going to wake him up. Thomas says, okay, guys, I guess we need to go too so we can die with him. I love Thomas. Okay? I mean, Thomas is not famous for this verse. He's famous for being the one who said, I will not believe unless I see the wounds and touch the wound in his side. Unless I have empirical evidence of the resurrection, I'm not going to believe. I love Thomas. And Jesus didn't say, I'm sorry, we do not allow people like that to be apostles. Okay? Jesus said, check it out. Here, put your hand in my side. If you really want to know the truth, God's happy to provide it. The doubters who don't get answers are those who are saying, no, I don't want to believe. Anybody who really wants to know the truth, God promises he'll show them. And Thomas here was not being sarcastic. It definitely sounds like he was resigned to die, but he was ready to die. And for that, he's to be commended. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Some have suggested that this was because Mary was upset with Jesus and didn't want to go. She was doing the reverse of the elder brother routine, where the elder brother wouldn't come into the house, Mary wouldn't go out of the house. The reason I don't believe that is because, verse 28, having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and he's calling for you." And as soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. So I think the reason Martha went out is because she got word Jesus was coming and she went to meet him, just as it says. And the reason Mary didn't was because she hadn't gotten word yet that Jesus had arrived. But both of them went to Jesus. And both of them said the exact same thing. And Jesus responded to both of them differently. Because these two personalities were very different. Martha was the analytical organizer who got upset with Jesus for not making Mary come help her in the kitchen. Okay? And so Jesus speaks to her about the resurrection and about the nature of the resurrection and about who he is. But when Mary says the exact same thing, Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled and asked, "Where have you put him?" "Lord," they told him, "come and see." And Jesus wept. Mary didn't get the same response. Mary didn't need the same response. God knows what we need. And he ministers to us according to our need. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, again, the analytical one, the organizer, told him, "Lord, there's already a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus has just given directions and Martha is trying to amend them. "I don't think you want to do that. I don't think that's a good idea." How often do we pray this way? "Oh, Lord, please do something. Okay, I'm going to do this. Oh, not that." How many times does God answer our prayers differently than we have imagined and we still want to get him back on our page? He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Do not overlook that verse. If you believe, you will see. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so that they may believe you sent me." God is working through his Son in order to do what the people need. And after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to those who were standing there, "Unwrap him and let him go." That's the text that we have used for our counseling ministry here. Because all of us were once dead in trespasses and sins. When God makes us alive, we really are alive. But we still have grave clothes. We're still bound by the stuff that had to do with our dead condition. And I'll tell you something, having helped a few folks with grave clothes, they stink. But I'll tell you something else, having helped people out of some grave clothes and having had to get rid of grave clothes myself. You may have not thought about this before, but what was Lazarus wearing under the grave clothes? Nothing. Do you know what happens as you start coming out of your grave clothes? You're exposed. And one of the reasons a lot of people don't get free from what binds them that was a part of their former condition is because they aren't willing for anybody else to see who they really are. Effective counseling is only effective when people are willing to open up, be exposed, share what's happened, share what's going on, share what they struggle with. And if you want to get free, that's going to have to happen. You can't just do it on your own. He didn't say, Lazarus, okay, you sit down there and get yourself unwound. Lazarus had received a new lease on life. You and I are actually given something much better. When we come to faith in Christ, when we trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, we are given a life that is eternal. And as Jesus said to Martha, the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will still live. It's forever. Look at it. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's his question. Do you believe that? Are you really trusting Jesus, or is your faith still all about trying to find the right combination in order to get him to do your will? Do you want to be part of the kingdom of God, or were you hoping to be a part of the kingdom of you? But the kingdom of God, he reigns forever and ever. And any rebellion that comes against him is just crazy. Because no weapon will prosper. Jesus will reign forever and ever. Amen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When your identity is in Christ Jesus, you don't have to be afraid, no matter what happens. I want to ask you folks, do you know him? Not just know about him. You've heard about him and heard about him and heard about him and heard about him, but I want to know if you know him. Do you know him? Because he loves you. And he came to save you, not just to give you another chance. He came to give you eternal life. Trust him. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to let other people help you get free from what was part of your old life before you knew Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.